call at 675-BEST and visit bestwi.net.
The world's premier touring guitar festival returns to the Wild Theater stage Thursday, February 12th, with an unforgettable evening of artistry, diversity, and virtuosity. This year's international guitar lineup features four extraordinary talents: Australian classical guitarist Stephanie Jones, Brazilian crossover sensation Lucas Imbiriba, Russian fingerstyle innovator Alexander Misko, and Hawaiian ukulele virtuoso Tai Main. International Guitar Night, Thursday, February 12th at 7 p.m. Get your tickets now at the WIO box office or online at wiotheater.com.
Buy 2 weeks, get 2 weeks free. That's right. Buy 2 weeks and get 2 weeks free with a Country Bounty personal classified special. Run your personal classified ad for 2 weeks and we'll help you sell your unwanted items by giving you two additional weeks and no charge. Now, if you need extra cash, clean out that garage. The Country Bounty is the perfect place to do it. Direct mail to every home in Sheridan and Johnson County and online at SheridanMedia.com. The deadline Thursday, 1 o'clock. Call 672-7421 or stop by the Sheridan Media offices at 1716 KROE Lane.
This is Public Pulse, your information and conversation program brought to you by First Federal Bank and Trust. You can voice your opinion by calling 672-KROE. That's 672-5763. Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whiting.
Good morning, Tuesday, February 3rd, from the foot of the Bighorns in Wyoming's Emerald City. I'm Floyd Whiting, and this is Public Pulse. This morning, we're joined by Sheridan VA Medical System Public Affairs Officer, that's a mouthful, Christina Miller, our lead social worker for the post-9/11 Military 2 VA program, Kelly Sauer, and Social Work Department Supervisor, Kurt Merriam. Good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, it's kind of dreary outside. I'm glad you guys can make it. Here it is, February, and it's raining.
Yeah.
Still waiting for winter to start.
A little bit. A little bit.
Yeah.
My best friend's in Florida, and she actually sent me a screenshot, and it was getting colder there than here.
Yeah.
In Jacksonville, Florida.
I got a friend down somewhere in Florida. I can't remember exactly where. Driving by a bunch of plants this morning, covered in ice. And she said, I moved here to get away from this stuff. It's just, it's funny. The whole world is just apparently on fire. Okay, so first off, I would like to know, the most individuals who come in here from the VA, one of the first questions that I ask them is, what brought you to the VA originally? How did we end up here? So I'll start, Christina, I know. And so Kelly, we'll move over to you. What brought you to the VA here in Sheridan?
So I've had family members in the who served in the military, and growing up, I have always wanted to, help the veterans and do what I can to help serve them. So the VA was a good choice.
Kind of see everything from the inside.
Correct.
Yeah. Kurt?
Yeah. So when you go into social worker, of course, you're looking to go in to help people.
Yeah.
And so the VA is an excellent place that provides the amount of resources to the populations that we serve, that we have, I think, more resources than pretty any other social work program would in the nation to help the people that we serve. And just the level of professionalism and training and opportunities as a career individual as well. And then the population that we get to serve, of course. So we both started as interns up at the Sheridan VA.
Oh, wow.
And that's kind of what led it to our foot in the door. And we were talking on the way here. We both worked in the same units and shared some of the same supervisors and whatnot.
So you guys kind of came up together then.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. A couple of years apart, but yeah. Through some of the same places.
Yep. But where are you originally from, Kerr?
So I grew up over in Gillette originally.
Oh, wow. Yep.
But my mom was from here, so.
Kelly?
Buffalo.
But you're two
both
local
locals.
Kids.
Yeah,
that's
locals.
Fantastic. So did you work to get to the Sheridan VA, or were you just like, I'm going to get in the VA and kind of hope that I end up in Sheridan? Or does it even work that way?
So part of our program when we were in for social work is we have to do an internship. And so I wanted to come to the VA to do my internship. So I was there for about 9 months, gosh, like 12 years ago. And then that just kind of led to open doors, and I was able to get hired on when a position came open.
Kurt?
Yeah, so as I mentioned, my mom was from here, so I grew up coming to Sheridan and loving Sheridan, and so that was very purposeful to do my internship at the
Sheridan.
Knew
exactly
VA,
where you wanted to be. Exactly. That's fantastic. Now, for listeners who may be newly separated from the service, what is the post-9/11 military to VA program? And what's it designed to do for veterans entering care up here at our medical care system?
So the post-9/11 military to VA program is a program designed to help veterans who are separating from the Department of Defense, returning to civilian life, and entering into VA healthcare. So my job is to connect with those veterans and to help them start getting enrollment into VA for their healthcare services and to help with the transition from the military.
That's got to be pretty difficult work, knowing some of the veterans that I know.
Yeah, it's very rewarding.
Yeah, I love
for
how
sure.
you say that.
Yeah, it's very rewarding.
When you get a win, it's a big win.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, and they're very appreciative.
Now, who qualifies for this post-9/11?
So my program is for post-9/11 era veterans. So veterans who have served on or after September 11th, 2001. So any veterans who served on or after that date are eligible.
Now, I know how the government works.
You do?
So a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit.
So you said September 10th. And that could be a completely different category than September 11th. So is it, it's after
yes,
September
it's,
11th?
It's on or after September, yeah.
Okay. What does it mean for combat veterans to receive 10 years of VA healthcare with, now, this is something that we were talking about earlier, right? Is this what you brought up? No copays regardless of other eligibility, or is that something different?
Right. So the 10-year eligibility for combat veterans are for veterans who have served in a, or deployed in a combat area, a zone, and they are eligible for 10 years of free health care for any medical condition or injuries that occurred during that deployment.
Now, that's regardless of eligibility for disability or anything else, right?
Correct.
That's just your average Joe coming out of the service. They served in a combat zone. Let's say they didn't get injured in any way. They're feeling great. They still get 10 years.
Yes.
That's fascinating. I did not know that.
And Floyd, you know, Kelly and I were talking about this the other day. So I have a friend who deployed, I think Camp Leatherneck, and he never went outside the wire. And so for people who don't know, that's outside of the compound, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he came back and he started having some issues. And he beat himself up because he's like, I wasn't out there in a firefight. The compound wasn't bombed while I was there. And he resisted getting help for a long time. And he told me, he said he finally went to just a counselor and they started talking it out, and come to find out he had some PTSD issues. And he's like, but I wasn't one of the guys that were really the ones that were out there doing it. And what they came to realize was that it was because he was seeing guys leave and sometimes not come back mm-hmm. in the same condition or not come back alive. And so there's things like that, that, you know, I think are critical for veterans to understand that, you when you raise your hand, and especially if you're going to deploy in one of those areas, we want to make sure you know about this program, because even if you don't think you have any problems, because maybe you weren't in any firefights and maybe didn't get injured, we want to make sure that if things do come up afterwards, that you're already getting care,
yeah.
getting it documented, and Kelly can definitely talk about how that could help with benefits in the future.
I look at it like this, and because I had maintenance. I had people who were in the office taking care of us, things like that. They're all combat veterans, in my opinion. I realize that I'm not the government, but and that's how I feel about it. They were there. I could not have done the job that we did without having them back there taking care of us, because that's all we did. We didn't manage our trucks or anything like that. They took care of our vehicles. They took care of us. And I kind of without that in the team, you have nothing, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about what a warm handoff is. What is a warm handoff?
So a warm handoff is, let's say I'm working with a veteran and they want, let's say, services for mental health, like counseling or medication management, or if they have a concern or something, I will contact that provider and explain what's going on and help that veteran transition from my service into the other service that they're being referred to.
So some long conversations, I would imagine.
Sometimes, yes.
Yeah. Now, how does that process work with liaison service members transitioning out? Are we all involved in that conversation, or is that just one professional to the other?
So it would be from the VA, the DOD liaison will get in contact to me if a veteran is discharging from the Department of Defense and coming into the Sheridan VA. So usually it's by email. They'll send me a secure email of what's going on with the veteran, information about that veteran that I need to know. And then I contact that veteran and help get them set up into the VA healthcare system. And I get in contact with our enrollment office and start sending referrals out and getting them their first primary care appointment.
Okay. So this is the rub that we've been talking about for years, Christina. Getting the individuals through the door is the tough part. Does this negate that? So I guess what I'm asking is this done automatically? The minute I get out of the service, you get my name. Okay, Floyd's moving to this area. Mm-hmm. Let's get him enrolled. Or do I still have to engage with you to get that process going?
So that's kind of a complex situation because, there's multiple ways to get enrolled with the VA. So one is through the DOD liaison. Another way is if a veteran is meeting with a healthcare provider. So it could be mental health for the first time, through their primary care team, their PAC team, then I get notified if they're the post 9/11 era. And then I can reach out to that veteran. I do assessment. I talk with them and make sure, they're getting quality VA care. If they have any issues, any concerns, help with any psychosocial issues. So finances, jobs, housing, relationships.
Okay.
So I would think maybe the best way of kind of looking at it is the hope would be through that DOD partnership, we're getting their names and being able to do that concierge kind of service. But that shouldn't stop a veteran if they've maybe left service a while ago or did a deployment and have been back a while. We don't want that to stop them from either reaching out to Kelly directly or if they're already, maybe they just recently enrolled. Once, like Kelly said, once they go for that first appointment, if they fit into that parameter, that's when that notification happens. So either way, ideally, we get them as soon as they're transitioning out, but we don't want people to stop and, think that they've missed the window
or
the boat.
Right.
Or that it's completely automatic.
Correct.
Excuse me. Which is really the question that I guess I was trying to get to is, I had so many of us, we got home and she said dismissed, and it was to the four winds we went.
Yeah.
And a lot of us stayed there. So the idea that, I know X needs help, mm-hmm. they're not reaching out. You can't force someone to go get help. But if you had their name from the DOD, and this is where I'm assuming this is the way it works, their name comes to you, you at least contact them and say, hey,
correct.
How you doing?
Yes.
You want enlisted in this? These are mm-hmm. some things that we've got to offer. So in a way, you go to them.
Correct.
Even if they're hiding in the cabin in the woods.
Correct.
Okay. All right.
Yes.
That's what I was really looking for because a lot of this, and I'm trying to remember, jeez. Christine, I'm getting old. I'm trying to remember how it was when we first got home, because I didn't reach out for the longest time. I didn't reach out for, gosh, I don't know, 6-7 years, maybe longer. And I should have, but I'm trying to remember if anybody reached out to me, and I don't think so. I think that there was always a table or someone talking and I'm saying, hey, are you registered? That kind of thing. But I don't remember anyone calling me directly. Would that have helped? Maybe. I look at it like this. If it helps one, then it's worth it.
Yes. And when did you discharge?
Separated 2014.
Oh, wow.
Completely out. Yeah. We got home 2007, 2008 from Iraq. So yeah, it was quite a while. And I chose other routes to take care of myself that didn't do as well as I thought they would. So when a veteran shows up for their first VA appointment, how does your team identify whether they should be connected or not?
It goes by the post 9/11 era. So they have to be... they have to serve in that post 9/11 era to be eligible for the post 9/11 military 2VA program.
Okay, so Vietnam veterans,
no,
wouldn't
they,
qualify
they would
for
not,
this specific
for this program. Correct.
Okay, all right. Now, what misconceptions about VA healthcare do you most encounter within the conversations that you have with veterans?
Sometimes it's the frustration with how long it takes to get some appointments.
It's pretty incredible.
Through community care. However, I would like to say that I know that our VA works hard to get those appointments. We get so many appointments that they're trying to keep up with the pace that they get with the consults. Most time if a veteran calls me and it's like, I haven't heard back about this appointment through community care, I can look in their chart, reach out community care, and they're usually really good at working with me to get that appointment process with wherever it is and wherever it is in the stage of the consult process.
And I think those are actually being processed right now quicker than we've ever processed them. So
I got a series of appointments recently after a doctor's visit, and they came pretty quick. And I'll bet none of them were more than a month out.
Mm-hmm. Well, and we just brought on 25 medical support assistants.
Oh, fantastic.
A contract to really address those numbers. And so that's probably why you're seeing the change is just trying to, because you know, we're rural Wyoming. So, yeah. You know, a lot of the care will be in the community. And while we can't control the timeline after it leaves us, because it's up to the community providers,
right.
And they've got their own, you know, patients and things, that's been a focus of all the leadership. And so that's why we were authorized to do a special contract to get 25 additional administrative assistants support assistants to really knock down the timelines.
Well, that's fantastic. And yeah. I have seen a difference. And the VA told me, hey, you're going to get a series of letters. And then I had to take some sort of action with this letter, but I actually didn't. Every community care provider reached out to me before the letter even hit the house.
Nice.
So that's, I want folks to know that, especially my veteran brothers and sisters out there. It's sped up. And now I know why, which is fantastic. Okay. How early do you recommend veterans begin this enrollment conversation after leaving the military? Is this next day stuff?
As soon as they can reach out, it's so beneficial for them to reach out and start that process because it in essence, it leaves a paper trail. You know, when they come in and see doctors, medical providers and stuff like that, if they want to apply for disability rating, that will help them get the disability rating and through veterans benefits.
Getting that process going now.
Yeah.
Getting these wheels turning now.
Yes.
Because that is something that does take quite a while. And there have been improvements from what I've seen. But way back, my golly, back in 2014, it took months. I can remember that. All right. On that, I got to take a quick commercial break. We're going to have more with our VA medical system right after this. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan. We'll be right back.
Some banks answer to shareholders.
First Federal Bank and Trust answers to the community.
Because as a mutual bank, everyone benefits. Profits stay local.
Supporting nonprofits and community programs with decades of local roots and modern online and mobile banking that fits your life.
More than a bank.
A mutual commitment.
First Federal Bank and Trust. Member FDIC.
We all know someone who is struggling with mental health. At 5:30 p.m., February 11th, the Sheridan Memorial Hospital Foundation invites the community to a conversation about mental health and how we can do better together. Hear keynote speaker Dr. Eric Arzubi, a nationally recognized psychiatrist, discuss how rural communities are working to ensure individuals receive the right level of mental health care at the right time. Join us February 11th at 5:30 p.m. in the Whitney Academic Center atrium at Sheridan College.
Disaster can strike and it's never convenient. Captain Clean is always on standby 24/7 to respond. From sewage backups to unexpected water inside your home, we can help. From fire and smoke damage to the unsightly mold found growing on your wall, our experts are here to help you from start to finish. Call Captain Clean today for your free consult. Captain Clean, 672-0726. Affordable solutions for healthy living.
We clean more for you.
The following message presented by First Federal Bank and Trust, Sheridan's only mutual bank. Visit efirstfederal.bank.
AARP's annual food drive is back. Teamed up with Sheridan Community Federal Credit Union and VFW Post 1560. This drive benefits the food group and Salvation Army. Drop off your non-perishable donation between January 30th and February 9th at the Hub, on Smith, the American Legion, the YMCA, Schiffer School, or the Sheridan Memorial Hospital Cafeteria. Vote for your favorite team. Together we can make a difference.
Feeling the squeeze at the gas pump? Grocery budget taking a hit too? We can help with that. This is Alicia Carroll with ERA Carroll Realty and Pinnacle Home and Land Group, inviting you to enter our gas and grocery sweepstakes. One lucky winner will get a $200 gift card to Farmers Co-op and $200 in Chamber Bucks. Enter daily on the contest page at SheridanMedia.com.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm your host, Floyd Whiting, and this morning we're speaking with Sheridan VA Medical System Public Affairs Officer Christina Miller, lead social worker for the post-9/11 military to VA program, Kelly Sauer, and social work department supervisor Kurt Miriam. Now, for veterans already enrolled in VA care, how does the social work department help connect them to additional services? And this is an important question, because a lot of individuals will say, okay, I'm enrolled. Now what? And sometimes, Kurt, it can almost be overwhelming because there's so many programs that you might be eligible for that you forget them. I forgot I have a VA home loan. I forgot it until my brother-in-law brought it up. He said, well, why haven't you used that yet?
Right.
Because I forgot I had it.
Yeah, it is tough because the VA offers so much and we have so many different resources. It's hard for us to know as well. But the social worker is the person that is, we're kind of inundated in all of the different teams in a lot of different areas. We're in medical, we're in mental health, we're in housing, homeless services, post-9/11, geriatric services. And so the social worker often is that person who helps connect those resources together. That is more knowledgeable, but still, like you said, there's so many things that no one of us contains the knowledge, but we know people, right? So
like, they got people.
Right, right.
I know a guy. Okay, so let's talk about caregiver support. I've got a friend who's disabled. His wife went back to school and became his nurse. So she takes care of him. And this is something that I've talked to like the Hub on Smith quite a bit about, people taking care of their parents. And there are situations like that as well. I know if I needed it, my little girl would be up here to take care of me. So for caregivers, I mean, that can be, it's a life.
Yes.
It's a life. How can the VA offer these individuals support?
So the caregiver support program started in early 2010s, and it was really for the post-9/11 folks originally. And so folks coming back with injuries, whether that be physical or mental health. And then in 2020, it really expanded into to serve our Vietnam era population and our expanding geriatric population. So oftentimes we think about caregiver from kind of in general, we're looking at older folks. But as you mentioned, you know, folks with disabilities or war incurred injuries, there's additional support there. So the whole idea of that program is not the veteran is the primary focus, but the caregiver is the primary focus. So we're supporting the caregiver, so better care is provided to the veteran. And that's in that program for veterans who are 70% service connected or greater, that can be financial support as well. So they can, if they need the income, they can stay home and take care of the veteran, the spouse, the parent, you know, whoever that is. And we even provide medical insurance for those individuals too, which helps make that separation easier.
Almost kind of making them an employee, but not really.
Right. It's a stipend. So it's a benefit. Yeah.
Yeah. In my friend's situation, she literally said, no one's going to be able to take care of this bum like I can. So, she had for 20 years already. So she just went back to school and figured out how to medically do it. Mm-hmm. And I imagine she probably takes advantage of all this stuff, but, I did not know about this caregiver support program. How new is this?
Well, as I mentioned it, so it started in, I think, 2011, but somewhere around that time frame. But it's really, with the Mission Act in 2020, it expanded quite a bit, and the whole program has significantly changed. But there's, for folks who are less than 70%, there's still resources to connect with a VA nurse or social worker. There's groups and supports and education through that program.
All right. So if anybody out there listening right now is the caregiver for a veteran, reach out. Figure out what benefits you may actually have available to you.
So I did want to add one specific thing because of having a caregiver situation in my family with my dad. One of the things that there's, like Kurt was kind of talking about, there's kind of two programs with the caregiver built into. One includes a stipend potentially depending on lots of factors. But the general one that's, like Kurt says, services and groups and things like that, both of them have respite care. And for anyone who's been a caregiver, that's humongous. I think it's, is it 30 days?
Yeah, so actually every eligible veteran is eligible for 30 days of respite care. Yeah, so they don't have to be in any particular program. So and our hope is that really that there should be no wrong entry point into the VA. So people who are already established with medical care, they're most often familiar with their primary care provider and their nurses. So that's often a great starting point to ask these questions and then help get connected.
Okay.
And that's massive for, you know, especially in the caregiver situation. But yeah, no, that's great because basically, you know, you've got this caregiver who may be 24/7 providing care to the veteran, and respite care allows them to go into either one of our sites or I think contract nursing homes.
So the respite program can offer, so we have contract nursing homes. So we have a certain number of nursing homes throughout our catchment area or most of Wyoming that a veteran could go into if need be, but it also can serve as like if that caregiver needs time off to go do self-care or go to their own medical appointments. I mean, we've had caregivers with cancer themselves. So can you imagine how difficult that is if you're providing care for someone already? So we can provide through one of our contract agencies, a nurse to come in or, you know, a CNA or it depends on the level of need, but to sit with the veteran and be with them if they cannot be safely left on their own for a couple hours a day, that counts as one day's use each 20, however many use in a 24 period. So it doesn't actually have to be in a facility.
Okay. Now, Kurt, for individual, oh, you're fine. Don't worry about that. All right. Now, Kurt, for those individuals out there who were just hearing about this for the first time, and they're like, oh my goodness, I should jump on this. What do they need to do?
Well, once again, if you're established with care already, those are good entry points to talk to the folks you know. But really, like I said, there's not a wrong entry point. So our Sheridan VA caregiver support number is 307-675-6000. 7277 if you have general questions about caregiver support.
All right. I wanted to make sure that folks had at least a number or something that they could follow up on. I'd love the act. It's in your hands now. Now, real quick, one thing that I did want to ask about, justice reentry-related services fitting into a broader goal of stabilizing veterans experiencing homelessness. Because, Christina, there was a survey. How many homeless veterans do we have in Sheridan on a daily basis?
I don't know if we've had a Sheridan specific one.
Okay.
I know VOA tracks things like that too, but I don't have the number right off the top of my head. We VA wide, there's a day that there's a kind of a national survey.
Okay. It's in January usually, and it depends on your definition of homelessness. Literally homeless on the streets, couch surfing. So it kind of depends on who you're asking and who's wanting the statistics. So it's kind of hard. But what I can say is that as far as our services here in Sheridan, we have a quite robust services for homeless veterans. And we partnership, the VA partners with programs like Volunteers of America, for example. They own some of our homeless grants that we, national VA pays for them to provide short-term housing assistance and help get folks back on their feet. So there's lots of different ways to get into those systems. But if you asked about the Veterans Justice Program, so if we're talking about homelessness, especially with our veteran population, it's usually not just the problem is you don't have a place to stay. There's other compounding factors like mental health, substance abuse. And if you're having those issues, then oftentimes you're interacting with a court system in some way.
Yeah.
So our veteran justice officer is really that connection point. I mean, similar to what Kelly's doing for people who are coming out of service, that person can help someone who's coming out of jail or prison to help get connected into resources and hopefully have a better outcome following that.
It sounds like it's a robust system that we have in place here to help people get off the streets through the justice system. I guess that's my question. Is that exactly what that's for? I mean, it's not like legal advice, right?
Correct. Yeah. So she's a social worker, Marie Hardacre, who's a wonderful person. She has done amazing things with that program, but she works with the jails and prisons throughout the state for folks coming out. She works with our public defenders and our local court systems for veterans who are sometimes going through legal things and providing those resources, helping get them into treatment programs, which a lot of, for our homeless programs, that's where a lot of the entry point is. Our folks come into treatment and then they don't have a place to go afterwards, and then we start serving them in our homeless programs.
And that is more common than what people would think. I actually even found myself in that same situation. What year is it? Maybe 12, 13 years ago myself. So I know a lot of individuals do end up finding themselves in that situation again. But it's one of those you got to, and I'm saying this as a veteran to other veterans, you got to help me help you.
Mm-hmm.
Things can't stay the same if, and expect a different result. So going into a treatment program, taking these steps to, rid yourself of the substance abuse, you can start to rebuild a life.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And I've got a lot of assistance and help to get me there. Kurt, can people contact you directly?
Sure. That's certainly an option. My number is 307-675-3879. And I can help get them connected to the points that they need to. But once again, I'd like to share the message that there should be no wrong entry point for a veteran.
Yeah.
So if you've got a connection that you've already established, if you've got somebody that you're working with, feel free to call that person. Call the main line. Nobody needs to know all these numbers. We can always call the main line and ask for, hey, I want more information about caregiver support. I want more information about homeless services. And the operators will connect them to the folks that they need to be connected to, or to someone else who will then hopefully do the same. Because there's so much offered, but that's part of our job, is to provide those warm handoffs and connections.
Is there anything either one of you would like to say before I let you go in regards to veterans, eligibility, enrollment, homelessness, anything?
I would just like to say that, any questions, any concerns, please give us a call. And we'll do our best to get you connected. to services.
All right. Fantastic. I want to say thank you to both of you for coming in this morning. I hope to actually see both of you again. I had a whole list of other questions that I didn't even get to. We run out of time, but thank you for what you do for veterans.
Thank you.
I greatly appreciate you. All right. When we come back, we're going to speak with some VA pharmacists when we return. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Ever wonder where your bank's priorities really are?
At First Federal Bank and Trust, they're right here at home.
No shareholders, just shared values.
Local decision-making, community support, and a long-standing commitment to the people we serve.
Plus the convenience of online and mobile banking.
Banking that matches your values.
First Federal Bank and Trust. More than a bank, a mutual bank. Member FDIC.
Forget everything you thought you knew about string quartets. Vitamin String Quartet turns pop hits into symphonic adventures. From Billie Eilish to BTS, Taylor Swift to Daft Punk, Vitamin String Quartet's electrifying covers have earned them accolades throughout the country. Experience their spellbinding sound for yourself live. Tickets are available now at the YO box office or online at yotheater.com. Vitamin String Quartet, 7 o'clock tonight at the YO Theater.
Hi, this is Dan Marshall with Captain Clean. We are Northern Wyoming's premier cleaning service. Carpet cleaning, air duct cleaning, oriental rug cleaning, water and fire damage restoration, mold remediation, upholstery cleaning, tile and grout cleaning, hardwood floor cleaning, and much, much more. Nobody cleans like we do. Call Captain Clean today, 672-0726. Affordable solutions for healthy living.
We clean more for you.
When it comes to Wyoming, your roof takes the hits. Hail, wind, snow, and sun. That's why Brandon 307 Roofing and Exteriors installs metal roofing built to last. From commercial-grade R-panel, residential metal roofs, and our impact-resistant 24-gauge standing seam systems, every option is engineered for strength, longevity, and performance. When you want protection that lasts a lifetime, call Brandon 307 for your free inspection. Quality materials, quality installation, local experience you can count on. Visit Brandon307.com. Brandon 307, Branding Wyoming, one home at a time.
Hi, this is Taylor, front of house manager at Frackleton's. From the moment you walk in, we want your meal to feel easy, welcoming, and unrushed. A great night out isn't just about what's on the plate. It's how you're greeted, how you're taken care of, and how everything flows. We pay attention to the details so you don't have to. Good food, good service, good timing, start to finish. Frackleton's, Main Street, downtown Sheridan. Oh, and book your table early on Frackleton's.com.
Good morning. Welcome back to Public Pulse, proudly brought to you by our friends out there at First Federal Bank and Trust. I'm your host, Floyd Whiting. For our second part this morning, Christina Miller and I are joined by Sheridan VA Medical System clinical pharmacist Dr. Presley Howe and Dr. Megan Molitor.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Hey, I'm doing great this week, Christina. I'm doing great.
Take the rest of the week off.
Good morning. Welcome to the show. I'm honored to have both of you on here.
Thanks for having us.
Now, let's talk about what a clinical pharmacist is, because I didn't know until I looked it up this morning. You are different than a regular pharmacist, aren't you?
Yes. We are clinical because most people think of pharmacists as dispensing pharmacists, Walmart, Walgreens. So we go to pharmacy school and then we do another at least year residency or year of additional training to focus on medication management. And within the VA, we have a unique scope because we actually can prescribe medications, which is not unique to any other health system but the VA. So we're consulted to manage folks' disease states like diabetes, hypertension, and we get to do this all because we had residency. So we had that 1 year of extra training, and we can focus more on, you know, one specific disease state and really take care of the patients.
The degree is called like a PharmD, right?
Yep. We get a PharmD, and that's called a doctorate of pharmacy, essentially.
Wow, that's a lot of work. But it's all worth it in the end because you have this specialized training that allows you to do these things. Yeah. And when it comes to drugs and people putting things into their body, I'm one of those individuals who believes that we're a little blasé about it in the world. I think we should be having clinical pharmacists actually look at us and say, okay, just so you know, here's everything that can do. So what kinds of direct patient care and medication management services do you provide up at the VA?
Yeah, and that's kind of the unique thing about being a clinical pharmacist is we get to meet with these patients and we get to continue to follow with them, you know, so we can meet with them for a certain disease state, like Presley said, either diabetes, hypertension, hyperlipidemia, and we can adjust their medications, prescribe something new, and then we'll follow up with them in four weeks and continue to kind of build that relationship, build that rapport, and follow them, you know, until they've accomplished their goals of what we're trying to do.
Can you explain what a GLP-1 medication is and what it does for us?
So those are newer medications, once a week injections. And depending on how you look at it, one way we can use it to treat diabetes. They're indicated for diabetes. They're also indicated for weight loss, which folks might see more now on the news and radio and things.
Hollywood.
But they do have certain specific criteria for weight loss and then certain specific criteria for diabetes through the VA.
Now, I know it's kind of anecdotal and a bit of an opinion, but when it comes to Hollywood, social media, people seeing this drug, you're going to have, you know, a couple varying opinions about this stuff. One of those is mine, which is we use this stuff far too much, in my opinion. A lot of people are, especially those in Hollywood, are looking at this as like a fix-all. So I've got a lot of friends and myself, I've hit that age where I'm finally starting to put that weight on. Some people might see this as an option. What are your opinions on that as far as weight loss only?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, with every medication, we look at it as a risk-benefit kind of weighing that balance. And so I think there's definitely certain patients that this medication can be beneficial for because we know that, you know, obesity can lead to increased risk of cardiovascular disease and all these things. And so there is a certain population of patients that could benefit from this medication, but it all is patient-dependent. And there's that risk benefit of, is this medication right for you? So it might not be right for everybody, but there is a potential that it could be right for you.
Doc, are you got a lot of people asking about this stuff up there?
Yes.
You do?
Yes.
Is that primarily why you're like, you know what? I want to address this. We want to come in and actually talk about this. Why is it important for veterans to know that these medications are not intended for short term standalone solution to weight loss?
Yeah, the data for these type of medications for weight loss shows that if they were to stop it after a year, that weight actually returns. So obesity is now seen as a chronic disease state and lifelong. So these are now chronic medications that are continued for life because they do risk gaining that weight back.
You're kidding me.
No, I'm not.
The minute they stop the injections, boy, they're
Over the course of the year, which is also, you bring up an important point of these medications work best when people take on diet changes or activity changes. So it's very important that we're not using a medication just purely for weight loss. They really have to be invested in the diet and the activity changes as well, which is why one of our requirements for the VA is that people need to be involved in something like our MOVE program, where they focus on comprehensive lifestyle intervention, like diet changes, activity changes, and then behavior changes as well.
And I just wanted to add on to it is I think humongous is their partnership with the dietitians is so humongous for this.
Yeah.
For that reason.
And just so you know, I mean, I poke fun at my weight, but I know it's me that's doing it. I attack cookies and donuts and baked goods like you wouldn't believe. So I poke fun at my weight, but my wife is the one who said exactly what you say. Behavioral changes could really help with this if you wanted to do them. Yeah. So I'm not looking at like a drug to try and fix all. But, you know, as you were saying, Doc, there are individuals out there who have struggled and battled with this thing their whole life. Maybe they feel like there's no other option. Okay, maybe then give it a shot. Maybe then.
Yeah. And even then, it still is best used in combination with nutrition, you know, exercise, lifestyle changes as well. It's just used as kind of an extra boost. You know, it's really found to be most successful when you combine all of these things together.
Because again, it's going to be one of those situations if you don't change anything else and then you stop taking these injections. And who wants to do that their whole life? Once you stop taking these injections, more than likely your lifestyle is going to catch up with you again. And those of us with a donut addiction know how bad that can be. So let's talk about some of these lifestyle changes. What is the MOVE program and how does that support veterans working towards their sustainable health goals as opposed to just these short-term ones?
The MOVE program is led by dietitians at the VA, and it's, I'm not certain how many weeks it is, but it's a prolonged course that the dietitian teaches. And again, it's focused on diet, activity, and behaviors. The veterans can call into it or meet via telehealth and meet with dietitians. I know they offer for my patients one-on-one visits if the MOVE program doesn't work for time-wise for folks. But the MOVE program is very beneficial and goes through kind of a coursework material on how they can change their diet and activity as well as their lifestyle.
And one of the misconceptions is that, oh, this is an exercise program. You know, my knees hurt. I can't do this exercise. But it's really, they look at the bigger picture of things and they look at, you know, journaling your diet and finding those different things as well. So it's not just an intensive, we want you to work out for this long. It's really looking you at the whole issue as itself. So.
And it's the VA. I mean, if you show up and you're like, hey, look, I got a bum knee. I'm not going to be able to go run 5 miles. Okay, fine. Let's work on something else. We can mm-hmm. find other ways to get around that bum knee. You don't have to worry about that. We can do other things. When it comes to virtual cooking classes offered by VA dietitians, Christina, talk to me a little bit about this one.
Sure. So I think it's kind of fun because I'm not a cook. and so our dietitians for some time now have been offering virtual classes. In fact, there's a series that is women specific, so women can join from anywhere in the state. In fact, we have veterans who join from all over the country because it's virtual and they've heard about it through the power of the web. And so there's ones that are specifically on learning nutrition things and or cooking, how to cook certain foods that are easy and fast to put together and align with maybe goals of healthy eating and things like that to support any efforts that the pharmacy may have to try to keep you on track with whatever your goals are. And that's part of that big picture we call whole health, of looking at the whole person and going, okay, we've got all these tools, but what's important to you and how mm-hmm. do we get you there? And so with the pharmacist, dietary, social work, maybe counseling, there's all these things that go, okay, here's your goal. Let's see what pieces out of all the resources we have can we put on the plate for you to help you attain those goals. And so that's why things like this are so important is, you know, like weight loss, GLP-1s, for instance, there's very specific parameters they have to follow for a veteran to be able to get it. And a lot of folks aren't happy if they don't get it, but it's because they're looking at a lot of factors and what's, you know, the veteran's medical situation. And there's very specific parameters they have to follow, but there's all these other programs and ways to move forward. And maybe it's, you don't like eating healthy all the time. That's okay. But learning some tips and tricks to, you know, get around those cravings for the donut and the cookies so that you can still accomplish your goals.
Don't put a blueberry on it or I'm gone. All right. Now, Doc, I'm running out of time, but I want the two of you to have one last message. So if there's something out there that you want people to either know about this new drug, know about pharmacy or taking medications in general, what would that be, Doc?
I would say just always know you have a pharmacist on your team, especially within the VA. Every primary care team has a pharmacist. Someone like Megan or myself, and we do a variety of things like side effect management, different medication counseling, drug interaction reviews, you know, when patients have concerns that are my medications working together and are they working together okay? Or I have this weird thing going on. Is it related? Just know there's a pharmacist always on your team. You can consult, your primary care provider can consult us, or you can actually self-schedule with the pharmacist. The clinical pharmacist specifically.
Oh, that's fantastic. So I can come in and actually have a conversation with you.
Mm-hmm.
That is great. Doc?
Yeah, no, I think Presley kind of hit it on the head there. And then, you know, you can walk in and if you have just a basic medication question, you can go to the pharmacy and they're right there, you know, during all hours ready to answer questions. And then we, as clinical, if you do schedule with us, we can kind of dive a little deeper and really get down to the root cause of some things as well. And so, you know, pharmacists, it's just kind of a broad term, but there's definitely specialized pharmacists for each thing as well. And so, like Presley said, we're part of your care team and we're happy to help wherever we can.
I want to say thank you to both of you for coming in here, because when it comes to drugs and medications, for years, I know veterans felt as if they were inundated. We're going to throw a pill at it. This is how we're going to fix it. And then I feel like for a number of years, the VA almost had to try and not backtrack, but okay, we got to fix this. We got to fix this through healthy means. And so having the two of you come on here and kind of jump ahead of this weight loss drug, I greatly appreciate, because I'm seeing it. I know there's other individuals that are seeing it. It is there to help very specific people, but let Hollywood be Hollywood, and let's be healthy instead. Thank you very much for coming.
Thanks
on
for
show.
Having us.
Yeah, thank
Christina,
you very much.
Thank you so much for putting this show together. It is always a pleasure working with you, my friend, and thank I you. Love to see you in here. All right, you've been listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
What if your bank actually shared your values?
That's the difference at First Federal Bank and Trust.
No outside shareholders, just shared values.
Just people banking with people and investing right back into our community.
Supporting local nonprofits.
Strengthening the place where we call home.
With local branches and convenient online and mobile banking.
Banking without shareholders.
You belong at First Federal Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
If you've worked in the construction trade, have skills in carpentry, plumbing, and electrical, or ever operated heavy equipment, the Sheridan County Airport is hiring a full-time maintenance technician with excellent benefits including medical, dental, eye care, retirement, and sick leave. Find out more at the Sheridan County website. Email your resume and cover letter to humanresources@sheridancountywy.gov or mail it to 224 South Main, Suite B1 today. Your car does a lot for you, getting you to work, hauling kids, driving in Wyoming weather. So when it needs service, trust the experts at Midas. Midas repairs brakes, battery, exhaust, steering, air conditioner, radiator, suspension, starters, charging system, fluids, tires. Midas does it all, and they do it right. Right now, the savings are strong. Buy one oil change, get one free to use by March. Plus, save $100 on a set of four tires. For full service auto repair, see Midas Tire and Auto in Sheridan. A touch above the rest.
This is Ed McIntosh with your song requests on Classic Country Sunday. We're live from 8 until noon every Sunday on KWYO Sheridan.